Hey everybody, here's our promo for DCBS. We forgot to record when we did this because I think it was at the end of July and we hadn't picked our books. But here are the books, so go to dcbservice.com and enter in our special promo code is CT8 and get an additional 8% off your first order. That's for first orders only. That's www.dcbservice.com. You can get your comics directly shipped straight to your door. And with this super cool foam packing, it's not peanuts, it's not wrapping paper, it's vacuum-formed foam. It's really freaking cool. So our picks for this month and the month of August, so order these now before the month ends. Star Trek Khan, Ruling in Hell from IDW number 1. This is pretty much what happens in between his episode and Star Trek. From this episode of Star Trek, we appeared in Star Trek 2. So this is kind of the story in between, written by Scott Tipton and David Tipton, art by Fabio Mantovani. From DC, we got Teen Titans number 88, written by J.T. Kroll, art and cover by Nicola Scott. It's a new day dawning for the Teen Titans, so let's see if J.T. Kroll can pull the Titans out of mediocrity like he did with the Blackest Night Titans series, which is the main reason why we picked this. Also, Ian loves Nicola Scott, so be on the lookout for her. And from Marvel, we have Amazing Spider-Man number 647, written by Bob Gale, Joe Kelly, Dan Slott, Fred Van Lente, Mark Waid, and Zeb Wells, penciled by a whole bunch of different people. This is the end of the Brand New Day era. This is the end of 101 issues three times a month. This will basically close out that chapter of Spider-Man and make way for Dan Slott doing it twice a month. So it's really not the end of an era. They're not going back to the marriage, as far as I can tell. But this is the next best thing, so we're gonna celebrate this great run of Spidey stories, and you know, with the closing of it, and pretty much see it all wrapped up. So be sure to check that out. It's a 64-page issue, regularly $4.99. I'm sure DCBS has got a great special on it, so be sure to look out for those at www.dcbservice.com, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to episode 110 of Comic Chiming, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joining us, Brett Cassina and me discuss whatever comes to mind time after time here on Comic Chiming. Well, it's been a while since we've had a review corner. It's been a while since we've had a show. So how about we go through a bunch of those books that we've been putting off reviewing? Huh? That sound good to you? That sounds good to me. All right, then. Here now, Comic Chiming. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 110 of Comic Timing. And it's review corner time, and we have a lot of books that we have been neglecting. Right, Mr. Brent Cassina?
Correct. We're only going to cover half of them.
Yeah, but you know, half is better than none. Half is always better than none. Yeah. Well, we're going to go through the Avengers books that we have on the back burner. We're going to go through the Bat books that we have on the back burner, and we're going to go through the free comic book day issue that we have on the back burner. Yeah, we're behind, as you can tell, because that was May. It's not May anymore. It's July. It's almost
July.
August. We're slow. We're very, very slow. But yeah, we're going over X-Men numero uno. The Tick, Free Comic Book Day Edition, New Avengers Finale, which was obviously number one, because that's a one-shot, and Avengers number one, and Secret Avengers number one, and we might throw New Avengers in there, and Batman Beyond number one.
Birds of Prey.
And Birds of Prey
Did
number
cover
one.
That?
Yeah.
So we're doing X-Men?
I don't know. I mean, yeah,
I thought we were saving that.
We can save that. Yeah, whatever. We can save that. No big deal.
Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
It's okay. It's okay. It's all good. It's all good.
Well, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, we're going to do the Avengers books, and we're going to do the Bat books, and we're going to do the Tick. All right. Yeah, that's good enough for me. Sorry, it was on the top of my pile, and it threw me off. So,
up your mind.
How about we start with the latest book, as in the We Should Have Reviewed This Back in May book, Tick number one.
Okay.
All right. Now, have you ever read Tick before?
No.
Okay. Have you ever watched Tick before?
Not a whole episode, so that would be a no.
Okay. Live action and animated, you haven't seen either?
Affirmative.
Okay.
Can you guess what my reaction to this was?
You hated it.
I really didn't care anything for it.
Okay.
And I listened to the CGS, you know, whole Edlund thing, and I'm looking for funny things that are going on, and I'm sorry. Just not for me.
Yeah, not for you?
Not for me. And maybe it gets better later on, but based on what I read today, no thank you.
So does it just not jive with your sense of humor? Is that it? I mean, did the jokes just like go entirely out
of
the left
field? I really didn't see any humor.
Hmm. Okay.
Tick was being just a buffoon, which never appeals to me, rarely. Mm-hmm. And I got the little Clark Kent thing that was trying to be humorous. I really didn't like – I mean, I've seen parts of the cartoon. I know that's funny. I've laughed at like whatever YouTube clips or something I've seen. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen a clip of the live action, but there's a – for me, there's a disconnect here to there. So, you know, that's just me.
Well, it is just you because, shockingly enough, I loved it. What a shock. I've yet to read any of the comics. I've seen the show. I grew up on the show. I love the animated series in any iteration that it was on. There were sort of – I guess there were two seasons of it, but there was a long time between them, and it was on it multiple times during its run on Fox, and it also had a time on Comedy Central after that and a bunch of different places. I've seen almost every episode of the animated series, and I watched the live action when it was around with Patrick Warburton in the Tick suit. So I'm pretty familiar with the Tick, and yet this is the first time I've read a full issue, and I liked it. This was my sense of humor, and that's why I'm not understanding why it's not yours. But I guess I don't know. Maybe it's just too juvenile. Maybe that's it for you.
That might be part of it. I've never claimed to like anything similar to. I'll just throw this out there. Don't know why people like this movie, but Napoleon Dynamite or Dude, Where's My Car?
Okay,
two movies that people love for whatever reason that absolutely don't jive with me.
Well, I don't like Dude, Where's My Car, but I like Napoleon Dynamite. But I can see where you're coming from on that because this is, I guess, sort of a comparable sense of humor to that. And I mean, to even like describe the issue, I mean, just opening it up, I mean, you go from the Tick being in a mental institution to breaking his way out, fighting some ninjas, beating the ninjas, you know, going to a diner and having a conversation, and then he winds up on a train tracks, meets not Superman, and almost gets hit by a train. I mean, that's the issue right there. You know, it's very disjointed, but for me, the humor's there because it might even just be the nostalgia even that I'm connecting with here, you know, because since I did follow the animated series and the live action, this is just more Tick for me. But it's not the full universe yet. You know, I mean, there is no Arthur in this issue. I mean, there are none of the side characters in this issue. It's just the Tick. So even on that level, it's not entirely what I'm used to. But I enjoyed it enough. You know, let's put it that way. I mean, it's just light, fluffy fun for me. Best way to describe it, I guess. But,
okay. Well, that's not something I look for in my comics, I guess.
Okay.
Might be my thing.
Your comics are full of metal arms and dead babies.
Right. Absolutely.
Good. Okay. All right. Here. I'll purchase the trade of Rise of Arsenal for you because obviously that's the sort of comic that you're looking for. Did you read Rise of Arsenal, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
Ugh. Did you like it?
I didn't. I felt it was not great, but I didn't see why everyone was railing against it all the damn time.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I'm depressed now. Oh well. Well, I give it a 4 out of 5. I think it's, you know, it's, again, it's light fun. That's what I look for, but it's not what you're looking for. I'm sure you're gonna give it a 1, right?
Yeah.
Read you like a book, man. Read you like a book. So put this on the list of independent comics that I have picked that Brent did not like, which is almost all of them. Now I'm trying to think of one that you liked that I actually picked. I can't think of one. This is not a good track record.
No.
Which means you're just going to freaking love that con book that I picked, man.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
Are you a Star Trek fan at all? Okay, all right. You've seen the movies.
I don't remember. I haven't seen all the original ones.
Okay.
I've seen all the Next Generation ones.
All right.
And I'm sure the last two will be put up on Hulu shortly.
Quite possible.
Because they have Generations and First Contact on Hulu, so I'll watch those again.
Oh,
those
are fun. A bunch of them are streaming on Netflix also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, actually, I think 1, 2, 3, and 4 are streaming on Netflix. So
okay.
Yeah, you can check that out. All right. Well, we'll move on. Actually, before we do, what did you think of this year's Free Comic Book Day crop in general? I mean, I know that this was, you know, forever ago, but did it compare to previous years pretty well for you?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I didn't think there was anything here that just blew me away of, you know, oh, wow, this is the best thing they've ever put out, I guess. What did DC put out? I forget. Oh, The War of the Superman. That was cool.
Yeah.
The War of the Superman Zero. The Marvel one, I'm just kind of just tired of the little mini comics. They think that's, oh, we're so cool. But, it was all right.
Well, it was another one of those, like, self-contained stories that that you don't need any real continuity for whatsoever.
Right. But I thought it was pretty, like, because the one last year was cool.
Mm-hmm.
With the Dark Avengers and the New Avengers and everybody battling or calling a truce, whatever.
Right.
And then we got this year's, and it really is like Iron Man, Thor. Okay, well, are we going to get any resolution or anything like that? No, we're just going to battle some eco-terrorists and call it a day. I was like, thanks, Marvel. What a waste of time.
Well, that's because eco-terrorists are the devil. No. So. Okay. Well, yeah, I think it was a pretty good crop myself, but... I was more interested in the indies this year than I was actually in the DC or Marvels, because War of Superman sort of just had me cold in general, because I just like completely fell out of that after New Krypton. Last stand of New Krypton, I didn't even bother picking up like anything past issue one of War of the Superman, because it just wasn't my cup of tea, I guess. But I mean, I might pick it up and trade at some point.
It was nice to see the end of it, is what I got out of it. It's like, finally, we're ending. We can do other things.
Yes, ending. Translation, yeah, remember all that stuff that we built up for 2 years? That's all gone. All of it. That pissed me off.
I thought that was kind of shameful, too.
Yeah, because...
all gone.
Well, because, I mean, yeah, I know the JMS wanted a clean slate and everything, but you blow up the planet, all the other Kryptonians are gone, from what we know. I mean, there could be some others, you know, still on Earth, but you've reset the status quo to Superboy, Superman, Supergirl. That's it. I mean, where's the fun in that? You know, you couldn't have had at least a couple of survivors? I don't know. Not my cuppa. Meh. All right, moving on. Because we did just mention the Avengers a little bit. So how about we get the Avengers stuff out of the way?
Okay. You just want to go new Avengers finale?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Let's go in order here.
Mm-hmm. Describe, sir.
Describe. Okay. Well, this, speaking of more endings, this was a long time coming, because the new Avengers have been. They've been messing around with the hood for what was really years. And I really got – yeah, but even before Osborn took over, since the New Avengers Annual number 2, yeah, it was like right after Civil War, they went into hiding, and that's when all this hood stuff came up, and it seems like that's all they've been doing in that book.
Mm-hmm.
This is the previous volume of New Avengers, not the new one.
Yeah.
This is the pre-siege volume, but it felt like that's all they've been doing is battling the Hood. Oh, battling Dark Avengers. Wait, the Dark Avengers are teaming up with the Hood and his gang. Oh, so what are we going to do during the siege tie-in issues? Let's battle the Hood and his gang yet again. All right. My favorite book ever.
They love hanging out in the Hood. What can I say?
I guess so. But I really did dug this issue. Aside from the Brian Hitch artwork, which... seems like ever since he stopped drawing Ultimates, his artwork has been inconsistent as hell. Some pages look really good, other pages don't. and other pages are just kind of so-so.
Yeah.
Like, and even not even in the, you know, it's like from panel to panel at times, not just page to page. I'm trying to find a specific example.
Well, also,
his Spider-Man always looks wonky to me because he chooses not to draw the webbing
right
as much as he can, and it's just like, all right, are you gonna do it or not?
Well, also remember that this was another instance of Stuart Immonen stepping in and assisting Brian Hitch in his best impression of Brian Hitch.
No.
Really?
Where did you see that?
On the actual credits page, Brian Hitch with Stuart Immonen.
Where's the credits page?
The like fourth page of the book, right after the conversation with Jessica and Luke.
Oh, you know what? I didn't even notice that.
Yep.
Why didn't they put his name on the front?
Because they didn't want to. Because I think they were fully expecting people to buy the book for Hitch. That and it's also possible that the credits were finalized before Hitch realized, oh shit, I can't get this done, and they didn't want it to be delayed again.
Wow, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what this
would explain things.
Yeah. That would explain things, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know if, what's his face? Eminem does a good Hitch impersonation, but the guy that's on FF now,
mm-hmm.
what's his name? He does a good job. He's really Hitchy.
Yeah, the guy also did the art on Fantastic Force.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
But he's really Hitchy. So yeah, well, that might explain it. But I mean, all in all, I thought this was a good ending to what had been like 3 years of storylines.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool finally seeing the Hood get his comeuppance and the Avengers finally be able to stop running. It was a really satisfying conclusion, I thought.
Well,
it was rather than Bendis take 6 issues to do something, he took what was this, like 64 pages or something ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
and just wham-bammed it into this whole thing, just one whole huge adventure.
Well, you want to know what my favorite part about this is? That for once, Marvel gives us a $4.99 book that actually has $4.99 worth of story in it.
Right. No reprints.
Right. Yeah. Why the hell can't they do that more often?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this cover to cover, I mean, yeah, there were some people bitching online about the reuse of artwork, like, near the end. But you know what? Suck it. I'm sorry. I mean, that was – I felt that was actually really fitting for this new Avengers finale, that you have artwork from – all the artists that have worked on New Avengers inside of the book.
Right, and it was a recap. I would have – technically, I would have rather had them go out and get these guys to draw a new take on an old scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I mean, they found double-page spreads that just worked and captured, you know, pretty much every major storyline in New Avengers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So –
I mean, hell, the spread that they used for the Dark Avengers versus the New Avengers was a cover.
Yeah. New Avengers 50 cover, but it sure looks nice as a double page spread.
Yeah,
you know, can't fault them for that.
I agree.
So,
overall, it was nice to actually see exactly what you said, a conclusion to a story for once from Bendis, and we got that in Siege itself also. I think that. At the end of Siege number 4, I felt like very satisfied that we had actually, finished a story and that we could move on to something new and different. And that's what we had here in New Avengers Finale. You know, we had New Avengers Finale so that we can move on to New Avengers. So that's great.
Right.
Ugh.
I was a cute little lost when I reread this today, and
mm-hmm.
a little lost as to how the Hood lost his Hood powers. Was that in the Doctor Strange storyline, I think? He lost the Dormammu-based powers.
Yes, that so
it's
is...
like, why do you keep wearing the cape, dude?
He really, really likes the Hood.
Yeah.
It actually, underneath it, he has a really bad haircut.
Well, I saw that.
And here, he lost his abilities again because Loki, you know, took his Norn stones and left him, you know, without any abilities, which of course made him sad and crying in the corner right. again, because that seems to be what the Hood does best these days.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's
yeah.
good.
No, I mean,
but you know what? These double page spreads at the end made me do. They made me want to go back and reread those stories.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I reread up to 25 a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I am all caught up on New Avengers, but House of M I haven't reread in a few years. You know, The Collective I did reread. I haven't read Secret Invasion front to back since it ended.
Wow.
I don't think I ever did it front to back. I did that with Siege.
Mm-hmm.
But I never read, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 front to back.
Yeah.
So, and even I haven't reread any of the New Avengers issues since Secret Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Pound to pound. So, well, this made me want to go back and do that.
I need to... I'm considering either giving away or selling a bunch of my books and just buying the trades, because it's so much easier to, you know, pull a book off the shelf than to dig back into my back issues of Doom and you know, track them down and be like, oh, there's my issues of New Avengers.
It was funny. I wanted to talk to you about this because I'm moving into a new apartment with Mandy in September.
Mm-hmm.
She's made it perfectly clear that she does not want, what do I got, like 12 boxes, 12 short boxes right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that is in long boxes, but I have 12 short boxes. She says she doesn't want all of them in the thing, which I understand, and I do agree that I need to get rid of some stuff.
Yeah.
But here's where I was torn was I know I want to get rid of like my Titans run since it's just one year later on.
Right.
So it's kind of a piece of shit. But do you try and sell those on eBay? I guess I could try and do that. Or I know a comic shop won't give me shit for them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go through stuff, are you like pulling stuff? Are you eventually? Because I did want to bind some stuff,
right?
But now with this whole upheaval with library binding and whatnot, I don't know who to use. It doesn't sound like there's one person that everyone's using anymore.
Not yet. There probably will be in the next month or so, because they're still sorting that out. The guys who, you know, used to work at library binding are starting up their own thing. So hopefully we'll actually have an answer within the next month or so, hopefully.
Yeah, so I know with the New Avenger stuff, that was one of the ones that I wanted to bind.
Right.
So I'm not going to toss that, because I do have all the issues, and I do reread that from time to time, so I would like that. But I don't know. There's some other things I was trying to think of, like what to get rid of.
Well, really, in the end, it's whatever you yourself don't think you're going to be rereading anytime soon. You know, I mean, the ones that, you know, you might have been interested at the time that either A, didn't turn out to be that good, or B, were just, you know, throwaway, done, you know, one and done's, you know? Like, that's the best thing to get rid of. Like, yeah, if you weren't that happy with Teen Titans post 1 year later, get rid of that shit. You know, see if you can sell it on eBay, and if not, then go to your local Starbucks and drop it off. You know, I mean, really, like, I know people that just take comic books onto a train and just leave a bunch on a train, or go to a coffee shop and leave them on a table, or go to a place where kids hang out and just leave them on there, but don't look like a creepy uncle when you do it. You know, just really just, you know, find places that they'll have good homes. That's it. You know, like at New York Comic Con this year, if I wind up having a table, cause that's still up in the air, cause I gotta go to a wedding the Sunday of New York Comic Con. So I gotta see if I can split the table with somebody. But, if that does happen, I'm bringing a bunch of my Moose comics with me to just leave on the table, you know, say, please take, I'm not even selling them. Just take, get them off my hands. So that's what I'm doing this year. And you could do the same at, like, next convention you're at, you know, just put them on a table with a sign saying, eat me, you know, that's
eat
it.
Eat me.
I mean, Chris, this was a great way to get rid of things. I mean, Chris gave me a bunch of her comics that she was giving away for the crap comics trade-a-thon at Super Show, you know. Because that's what that was for, you know, putting a bunch of comics into a long box and taking what you want, and then hopefully people will take your comics off your hand for you. And at the end of the night, they all either went to Golden Eagle or were donated to I think the one of the local libraries. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So have you sold much on eBay, like as far as runs?
I haven't, but I'm looking to. Because I'm looking to gather together, probably my actually Titans might be one of the ones that I wind up gathering together, because I have almost like a complete run of Titans that I could track down, like both at my mom's place and here, like from one to now, that I could probably get rid of. But yeah, and don't be afraid, like if you start at like issue like 12 or whatever, to put it up there, because if you're only like asking for like $10 for like issues 12 to 24 or whatever, or even less than that.
Yeah, I was thinking like less than $1 an issue or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get rid of them.
Right, exactly. People take shit off your hands, man. You know, if it's the right price on eBay, you'll be surprised at what you're able to sell. As long as it's in decent condition and you're not charging an arm and a leg like a stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Like
all mine person. Are in good condition.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, then you're good, man. I mean, really, just get rid of them that way. Because, I mean, I'm sitting here in this room, and I know that I mean, we talked about this on 108, that I can't have all this shit sitting around for too much longer. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to, you know, take what I got and go through it and be like, I don't need this anymore, or I'm going to bind it. And that's it. So do the same.
Yep.
This segue brought to you by Discount Comic Book Service. All right.
You brought it up.
No. And it was a good segue to have, because with the end of New Avengers, I'm sure there were a bunch of people that decided they weren't going to continue with New Avengers, because that's one of the ones that that's a $2.99 book, right? New Avengers, or is that $3.99 right now?
I think they're all three, my friend.
They're all three? Okay.
I want to say.
Right. Okay. Because I know one of the new Avengers books, not New Avengers, but one of the Avengers books that just came out, I think is still $2.99, but I can't remember which one. But
are they really calling that Cosmic one Cosmic Avengers?
That's what people have been calling it. That's not the official name for it yet, but I think it's probably going to wind up being Cosmic Avengers.
Ugh. I'm not getting that.
Yeah,
because I've not been reading the cosmic stuff at all.
Well, I have, so I probably will. Because
I know, and you'll dig it because it's DNA, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't it Abnett Landing or no, it's Van Lente.
Yeah, no, it's Van Lente. Yeah, Van although Lente. DNA are still going to be doing stuff in the universe, just not that in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So
right on.
Yeah. So, did you think the colors were a little bit muddled in this issue? I mean, I'm nitpicking here, but
Paul Mounce has been. Didn't he do the colors on this?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing that kind of stuff for ages, so I really just kind of went, oh, Hitch, and then saw, oh, Mounts. Just went, okay, yeah, this is what we got with Captain America Reborn, so.
Actually, I think I know what the problem is, because, yeah, the Paul Mounts stuff is perfectly fine, but you've got Justin Ponsor and Rain Barreto backing him up. So I think this is the same problem that I have when there's multiple cooks in a kitchen, because the inks are by Butch Geis, Andrew Curry, and Carl Story. The colors are by Paul Mounts, Justin Ponsor, and Rain Barreto. And Brian
Barreto is the super digital guy that's on Diodato on Dark Avengers that made it look like it was CGI the last few issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
which might be the pages that I have a problem with, for all I know.
Yeah, it might be. So we'll get to him when we get to Secret Avengers.
In fact, I think the one that I have an issue with, jump to the page with that's just Wolverine, the one where Wolverine's like jumping right at you, waving.
Yeah, you can't see him.
Yeah. I mean, this is not the Wolverine that you would ever want to have as a pinup on your wall.
I mean, Hitch draws a funky Wolverine anyway. I mean, look at him in the cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, what the fuck?
He goes all the way with the I'm a short man compensating thing.
But yeah.
The story itself, I liked. The story itself was good. And even better is that this tied up multiple storylines with the New Avengers. Because not only
I thought the Dr. Nefaria... Oh, yeah, he helped us when he was responsible for the Raft breakout, too. I was like, really? Really? Are you sure? Because I don't remember. I do not recall him ever being the secret guy. I didn't even buy it when they said the secret guy talking to Black Widow was the Skrulls. So
yeah, it might have been shoehorned in there a little bit.
But I thought that was a little bullshit. So
that's like throwing in there, you know, like how did Peter's marriage get screwed up? Oh well, he got jumped on by a fat man. Anyway, you know, it's the sort of stuff that. That I think they just wanted to put in there so people would shut up and stop asking questions and be like, this is how it happened. We can move on now to some other story. But at the same time, why wasn't this thought out ahead of time? You know, when Bendis, because Bendis can have this happen sometimes, and other Marvel writers have fallen in the same traps where they weighed down a specific plan and then don't actually follow up on it until like the very last issue of a run.
Hey, beats me, dude.
Yeah. Another guy that I would say that falls into that same thing, not exactly his fault because he wound up off the book, was, you know, JMS.
But if you do go back and read the Kieran Gillian stuff that comes after,
mm-hmm.
he does a nice job. He really does a nice job.
I read a few of them and I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read 606, 607, and 608, and then I read 611.
Yeah.
Yeah, although I still have 610. I haven't read it yet because I need to read it because it's Thor beating on Core, which I've been wanting to see for a while now.
Yeah, that was a good issue.
Yeah. So, overall, are we satisfied with this ginormous issue?
I'm satisfied. I'll give it a 5.
Okay. I'm going to give it a...
Fully satisfied.
I'm going to give it a 4.5. And that's only because of the weird art. That's it.
I just accounted it for being Hitch. And I figured Hitch is Russian, 64 pages. Okay.
He's Russian, but he's not Russian. Okay.
Boston, but Boston.
What? All right. So technically, you know what? Real quick, we'll talk New Avengers number 1, even though that's not on our review corner list. We'll talk that since we just talked New Avengers finale. New Avengers number 1. Are you satisfied with the team number 1?
I'm still confused as to how Wolverine and Spider-Man are still in it, and they're in the regular Avengers as well.
Well, he described it. I mean, at least Wolverine described it.
Yeah, I remember that. That was in like issue 2 or something. You know what? Honestly, I haven't read number 1. I read it one time, and I didn't think you'd bring it up, you bastard. But I do like it. I do like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like that they have their own mansion and just a kind of a place to hang out.
Yeah.
They're not on the run. You know, Stuart Eminem, can't go wrong with him.
Oh, and this is the best Stuart Eminem art that I've seen in a while. I'm not knocking on him either. This is like some really smooth art here.
Yeah, it's really sharp. It's even sharper from when he started on the old New Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
That makes any sense.
Yeah. No, it's a lot more polished. There's a lot less of those like weird angles that he was throwing in there from time to time. But you know, he might have been trying to transition a little bit more from Lionel Francis Yu to himself.
Mm-hmm.
But good.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot, and I liked the storyline. And the thing, yay or nay?
Yeah. We need some new characters in here, so I'll yay him.
Okay. Well, that and he gets along well with Wolverine and Luke Cage.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting dynamic, I think. Mm-hmm,
for sure. All right, we'll move it along to one of the other books that we picked. Actually, we'll run through them both, Avengers and Secret Avengers. Starting off with Avengers, because that's the one that was the return to home for a lot of people. And this is the quote-unquote cornerstone book now for Marvel. I mean, it's not New Avengers anymore. Most people are going to be focusing on the Avengers because you've got Bendis and you've got Romita Jr. And I liked it. It was a departure from the norm for Bendis because he's not much of a cosmic storyteller. You know, he's not much of a time travel guy. He's not much of a, you know, overarching thing going on, because even when the Skrulls were invading, they were invading mostly on our home turf. You know, it was more of an Earth story than it was a space story.
Right.
And now here we are with the Avengers, where it's Kang showing up and trying to stop these Avengers, these younger Avengers, the kids of our Avengers from Destroying
Next
Time.
Next Avengers from the animated film.
Not just from the animated film, but also from that What If issue like 4 years – actually, less than – more than 4 years ago, like 10 years ago that came out. It was actually –
Is that where this came out of?
Yes, actually. This is technically from the very last issue of What If. Yeah, it was What If – I believe the exact What If was What If the Secret Wars Never Ended. The heroes never get off of the planet that the Beyonder strands them on, and they all settle down and have kids, and then the kids decide to head back to Earth, and when they get back to Earth, it's all overrun by Sentinels and stuff, and they gotta fight back.
Huh.
That's mostly where that came from.
Did you see the next Avengers animated movie?
No, I did not.
Rent it. It's worth a watch.
Really?
Yeah. And further on animated movies, I got the Batman Under the Hood, really good.
Good. I'm glad. I'm actually planning on picking it up, if not tomorrow, then when I get back from Otakon, because I've been wanting to pick it up. Actually, I meant to pre-order it from Amazon because they have that lenticular cover. But I've actually been debating on whether or not I'm going to get the DVD or the Blu-ray version, because we usually lend DVDs to Chris's family, and they don't have a Blu-ray player. So I guess I might just get the regular DVD version, because it's not going to be
much. Well, they'll have the same special features, and I don't know what the upgrade from DVD to Blu-ray on animation is. So
sometimes it's actually detrimental to go Blu-ray, because sometimes the lines are a little bit weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe I will just go regular DVD. But anyway, so Avengers here. First off, before we talk about the story, John Romita Jr. Okay, there have been critics online on how he's drawn the Avengers here. Klaus Janson, of course, is his inker, because he usually is, at least these days, even though I think both you and I like him better when he's inked by other people.
But Janson has seen from his Hulk stuff that him and JRJR did, it, at least from this issue flipping through it, it looks like he's actually taking his time and going a little bit lighter.
Right. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the square jaw.
As opposed to square jaw everything, which, I mean, this has some of it. Iron Man looks a little wonky. The more and more I see other artists draw this Iron Man costume, the less I seem to like it, honestly.
Really?
And especially reading the latest issue of Invincible, fucking Salvador La Roca has a lot more, I mean, it looks like a lot less red and a lot more yellow when La Roca draws it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at it here, it almost looks like the old Iron Man costume with a bunch of dots on it. But the way La Roca draws it is a lot different from what you see here.
Actually,
and the more and more I see other artists draw it, the less and less I take a liking to it.
Actually, my favorite is Children's Crusade, where you open it up, and on the first page, there's a note saying, "We started this a long time ago, so all of the costumes are wrong. Please
ignore." You
know what?
I read all that stuff when they announced it, and I was like, "Trade! See ya!" Oh, get that shit.
It's a good first issue. It's a good first issue, but
2 years. I'm still sure that the last issue will be 6 months late. You know, sorry, Jim Chung. It's not your fault. I'm going to blame Heinberg.
Oh, you can certainly blame Heinberg. Yeah. Well, and talking about coloring on the last issue, the coloring here is actually what sells me on the entire issue.
Yeah, Dean White does a really good job here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that rain coming down in the next Avengers world, I mean, that was really pretty. I mean, it drew my eye directly to them. And, you know, of course, I see them and I'm like, what the hell? But my only main problem with the choices in this is the way that they draw Maria Hill.
Like a butch lesbian?
Yes, actually.
With the short hair? I mean, her hair split, yes, it's short, but it's supposed to be like ear length.
Yeah.
You know, like a bob. And they draw it here like a mullet, like a butch lesbian.
Dude, she's one step away from being Marty Hill.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that anything bad against you know, lesbians or butch or anything.
I mean, on the page where there's Steve, Marie Hill, and Tony, she has the exact same haircut as Tony.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And the glasses aren't doing it for me. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what they say. When people sleep together, sometimes they get a little bit similar after a while.
Similar.
I'm very happy to see Hawkeye back in the Hawkeye outfit.
Are you? I liked him as Ronan.
Yeah? You prefer him that way?
I've read most of him as Ronan, so. But if he's Hawkeye, he's Hawkeye.
Okay.
So, right. Sure.
I'm also happy to see Bucky Cap and not Steve Cap.
I'm kind of liking what they're doing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because really there was only one way that you could go after all this, because we tried having Tony Stark in charge. We tried having Norman Osborn in charge. Next step is to have Steve in charge. You know, I mean, it wouldn't have made any sense at all for him to just go back into the Cap outfit and then leave Bucky out in the corner saying, see you later, man.
Yeah, and I will say that I called this a long time ago. I'm sure a lot of people did, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of people called it as well.
Oh, yeah. No, the minute I knew he was coming back, I knew he was going to be Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. When did War Machine stop being a half a cyborg?
That was in his own book. I think it might have actually been the last issue.
Okay, because I've been reading the Invincible Iron Man and Secret Avengers, and it's like, I'm not a cyborg anymore. I'm like, what the where's your machine, dude? You looked like the Borg last time I saw you.
You want to bang your head up against the wall? Here's the reasoning behind it.
No,
I'm going to tell you anyway, okay? Norman Osborn cloned him.
What?
Yeah, Norman Osborn cloned him and tried to have, like, his own Rhodey. And he wound up transferring his brain patterns into the clone. Yeah. Translation.
Oh, wow.
Oh shit, the movie's coming out. We need a whole Rhodey.
Oh wow. Yeah.
It was pretty bad, man. Pretty bad.
Yikes.
Oh, and for that matter, please don't say West Coast. Please don't say West Coast. Please don't say West Coast.
Who was that?
It was
Mockingbird.
Yeah, Mockingbird. No, I'm really happy with the issue. I mean, I loved Avengers Forever is like one of my favorite Avengers stories of all time. It was one of the first Avengers stories that really drew me in. I mean, I was reading Boozy X Run when it first started in Heroes Reborn, but that was my Avengers epic, and that was all Kang and Immortus, and that's the same feel that I'm getting right here from Avengers, from issue 1 and issue 2. I'm totally sold on this. I'm happy to see Kang back, and this is the sort of Avengers like epicness that belongs in regular Avengers, not New Avengers, not Secret Avengers. This is the like universe scale storyline that you expect out of the Avengers.
I'm glad I read that, because I would have been freaking lost here.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I picked that up at the last MegaCon you were at.
Mm-hmm. And you liked it, right?
Yeah, I did. It was good.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah.
And then love the Pacheco art there, too.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the shot of Kang, the one-page splash of Kang on here when he shows up.
Uh-huh.
It was like, oh, damn. I mean, that art there is just beautiful.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, Romita Jr. is probably one of the best people to draw Kang. You know,
I mean, he's square anyway, so.
Right. Yeah. And what do you think about Maestro being involved?
Maestro? Who's Maestro?
Well, that's the Greybeard Hulk.
Oh, the future Hulk.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, because I forget you're well. I haven't actually even really read it myself, but I'm familiar with the whole Maestro thing, where that's basically just an evil Hulk from the future.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Not the big fat Hulk from Old Man Logan.
Most certainly not, no.
Not to be confused with.
No. In fact, you shouldn't confuse anything with Old Man Logan, even if Mark Miller says he's going to make a sequel. So, my only... And I liked Bendis in this issue. Don't get me wrong. I liked almost every part of the issue, but I'm going to have to bring up Rawr! I'm Simon, and I hate the Avengers. Wonder Man, smash. You know, it's like Bendis is not very subtle, is he? My only complaint with that is just like, yeah, the setup was there in issue 1. You knew something was going to happen in issue 2.
Yeah. So, hey, what can you do?
Whatever. I mean, I'm happy with it. This one I'm giving a straight 5 out of 5. I'm really, really happy with it. Even with Butch Maria Hill, I'm giving it a 5 out of 5.
I'll give it a 4. It's grown on me with the second issue. I haven't read the third yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's come out or not, but it's grown on me. I think I'm going to be enjoying this book.
I'll enjoy it a lot more, though, if by issue 4, Wolverine goes on an extended vacation.
You don't like Wolverine? So, yeah, what do you think of the team? I mean, we got the heavy hitters. We got the big three.
Right.
You know, we got Bucky Cap, Iron Man, and Thor. We got Wolverine and Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Spider-Woman, and Hawkeye. Basically, are your two sidekicks.
I think that this team is not going to be very permanent.
And we got Red Hulk coming in issue 7.
Yes, which confuses me greatly, but whatever. I like that it's, you know, the classic team in the aspect that there's at least one person trying to redeem themselves on the team. That would be Spider-Woman. One person who has already been redeemed, that's Hawkeye. Spider-Man's on there because I guess they figured that he needed to be on there, but I'd be okay if instead of Spider-Man we had, like, say, a Ms. Marvel. You know, if they had chose to put her on this team as opposed to on
well, I actually like Ms. Marvel better with the new Avengers than here.
Oh, yeah?
Because she gets to interact with Luke and Jessica and the baby and all that. I think that works a lot better than whatever she was doing before, I guess.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
Just me.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I mean, I would have even been okay with, and I mean, maybe this will still happen down the road. Like, I kind of would have been okay with maybe some of the young Avengers graduating.
I would have been happy with that too. Maybe we'll see that down the line.
Yeah, like even having Wiccan or actually Wiccan and Vision would be the two people that I would choose to have on the team. Because Wiccan fills your Mystic role, and Vision is your Android. Mm-hmm. And every good team needs an Android.
Android. So, are you reading these secret oral history of the Avengers in the back? Because I tried reading this one, and I tried reading the next one, and I'm totally just saying, fuck it.
I did not. I will be the sad human being that admits that I'm skipping the text. Because
I really don't see the point to it. And the most confusing thing is that it bounces around not just from Avengers 1 to Avengers 2.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 1 is in Avengers number 1, and then Chapter 2, I swear to God, is in New Avengers number 1.
Yeah, that's not right.
So it's like, you can't even read it sequentially, you know, if you were to bind it or something.
Yeah, no, that's just weird. It is kind of odd. If they wanted to put out like an Avengers novel, like a side novel, they should have just did that. You know, because that seems to make more sense to me than... I mean, really, the only reason that it's in there is to validate the $3.99 price point.
I really couldn't get the way that he set up the first time. It's like all these different people talking about the beginning of the Avengers, and I just kind of was like, half these people are dead. Where's this coming from?
Mm.
You know?
Right.
So, or they're not involved with the Avengers anymore. Just kind of got sick of it. So.
Yeah. I mean, hell, even Hank is off in Avengers Academy. I mean, he's not even in any of the major, Avengers books right now. And Avengers Academy, just to say that real quick, I really liked it.
I liked it too. I just read the second issue yesterday, so
not just because
I'm gonna stick with that. I thought I might drop it, but I read the second issue and I'm like, you know what? I liked Initiative, and it took Initiative a little while to get kicked off, and it's the same guy behind that as Initiative the last couple of years, so I'm gonna stick with Gage and say hell yeah.
Not just because of Mike McCone, but I'm getting a real Geoff Johns Mike McCone Teen Titans vibe off of it.
You're gonna say that.
Yeah.
So Avengers, you said a 5, I said a 4.
Yeah, I'm and Secret Avengers.
So Secret, moving on to Secret. Brubaker, Deodato, and Rainier Barreto as the colorist.
Yeah.
Toned down from, if you look at the last like 2 or 3 issues of Dark Avengers, like when you got into the Century shit,
mm-hmm.
it looked, I mean, the coloring was so plasticky.
Yeah.
It looked weird, and they dialed that back.
It reminded me of that Chuck Austin comic that came out back in like the beginning of the 2000s that was like entirely 3D animated.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they dialed that back a whole lot. So now it looks just like Dark Avengers when it stood out or when it began.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love Deodato. The past year, it was hitting on all cylinders for me with Dark Avengers. And, I've, you know, but this tone with Secret Avengers, I think it's going to be really cool. So.
Well, this is everything that I loved about Thunderbolts and Dark Avengers, plus everything that I love about Captain America. I mean, how could you go wrong with that? You know, I mean, Ed Brubaker does a great job of combining two of the main characters that he worked with in Captain America, Steve Rogers and Sharon, and bringing them over into Secret Avengers, because we need a team like this. You know, we need that covert ops team like Dark Avengers was, only this time with the good guys as opposed to the bad guys. And this is the absolute flip of that coin. And it's the first team book that we've seen Brubaker tackle since he's been in...
Well, he did X-Men.
I'm not counting that. Honestly, I'm not counting that, because that was meant to be Fraction's book from the beginning. I have that feeling.
But he did like a whole year and a half before Fraction jumped on there.
I completely understand that, and yet that was when Cloud was a member of the Uncanny X-Men. That's just not anything I care to remember.
You don't like the rise and fall of the Shi'ar Empire?
It's, again, Cloud with black hair and Marvel Girl. It's just not my favorite moments of the X-Men there. I mean, it was okay. It's just
he picked some really weird X-Men. I know that.
Yes, he did. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll – all right, fine. Second team book that he's worked on. You happy?
He's learned from his mistakes.
He most certainly has. And, I mean, these are some weird choices here, but not really when you think about it, because you've got – you've got War Machine, which is your stealth Iron Man, basically. You've got Hank Pym, Hank McCoy, your scientist.
Beast.
You've got Black Widow. Who,
has he left the X-Men entirely?
He pretty much has, yeah, because he told Cyclops to fuck off during Messiah Complex.
Messiah Complex, or was it? He's got the huge A on his chest now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of awkward. How are you supposed to be secret with a huge A on your chest? A beast.
Shh. It's okay. It's a secret A.
It's a secret A.
Yeah. but I mean, Black Widow's Black Widow. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Black Widow. It's obvious why she's here. Valkyrie, you're Thor.
Right.
Plus, I thought she was fun with the little, get your hand off my leg.
Moon Knight, you're Batman.
Yeah, Moon Knight, I think it's going to be interesting. We'll see if he can hold it together.
Yeah.
He
might be able to shoot. And Nova, that's a choice that I did not see coming. I mean, like, even when I saw him announced, I was like, wait a minute, how's that going to work? But it makes sense, because if they're going on these,
I'm wondering if he just might be the first story arc. We'll see.
Yeah, you think he's going to be gone?
I'm thinking he's going to be gone really quickly.
Okay.
But the one that I had thought was the most inspired was the new Ant-Man.
Yes, I agree.
The Irredeemable Ant-Man. Even though I do not like his costume, why did they get rid of the old one?
I don't know.
What was wrong with the old one?
Well, you know that this was all Hank Pym. You know, because I'm sure Hank saw that he was joining the team, and he's like, I'm not going to give you my good suit. No.
But I really like the old suit.
I understand that, but he stole
it
from Hank.
It was a lot more stealthy than this one.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll go back to that after a while.
I hope.
Yeah.
But wasn't he in Thunderbolts? Wasn't he in, like, a variation of the full mask suit and not this one?
Yes, he was. Yeah. Well, the suit that he's in now is a lot more like Scott Lang's suit.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's intentional or not.
War Machine, note to Deodato.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what War Machine's armor looks like, and I think with LaRocca too. But last time I checked, War Machine was not in the Iron Man movie armor. He was in the Extremis variation armor.
Yes.
Just saying.
Well,
just saying.
Well, and not just that, but...
I mean, you look at the team assembly shot, and you look at that armor, and that is totally Iron Man 2 armor.
Yeah, hold on.
With the chest and stuff like that.
Let me try and track that down here. No, you're right.
Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
But you know, if that's what they're going with, that's fine. But you know,
it's just I like consistency.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, I'm really happy with the team. And I'm not one of those guys that gets on Diodato for being photorealistic.
No, I'm not either.
Because
he's consistent with it.
Right. I mean,
and it's not like Greg Land where you've got, what's his face, lying in the gutters pulling, you know, swipe files on you every week.
Which Rich Johnson. Yeah.
I think Diodato is to a point where he uses photo reference, but he's able to move it and tweak it in a way that you don't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
That you're looking at somebody and you're going, okay, that's that looks like somebody, like Norman Osborn in the Dark Avengers.
Tommy Lee Jones,
absolutely, all the way.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was one thing that you could have like picked out of a Tommy Lee Jones movie and go, oh, that's that panel right there.
No, because he's actually able to manipulate mouths so that they don't look like they're straight out of publicity photos like what Land does.
Right.
Yeah. With here,
because Diodato has been doing this a lot. I don't know, a lot longer, but he was before he went to this style, he was totally doing it all by himself. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. It's just a style change, and it's fine. I think.
Yeah, and with characters like Nova and War Machine, where you don't actually see much of the face, that doesn't matter at all because, well, he has to draw it all from scratch, whether he likes it or not, and he does, and he does it damn well. And for people who get on him for the shadows, too, they're the secret Avengers.
Right.
Okay, there's bound to be shadow.
So, he's come a long way from the new Avengers arc he did.
Ooh,
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not like that arc, but he's come a long way from that.
I didn't mind it, but this is definitely better than that was. I mean, and
definitely,
for sure. The arc itself takes place in space, and Nova's sent out as a scout to try and figure out what exactly is going on with this dig on Mars, right?
Right.
Yeah, and he's sent out, and then the timing on this issue is a little bit weird because. How is Nick Fury there?
It's not Nick Fury.
It's not Nick Fury?
It's not Nick Fury.
Okay.
It just looks like Nick Fury. I read it and I went, that guy looked like Nick Fury, but I was like, that's not Nick Fury. Somebody else.
Because he sounds like Nick Fury also.
It's either a clone or somebody else.
Okay.
He's an imposter. Because Nick Fury's in fucking Secret Warriors kicking ass.
I get that. I get that, but all indications point to Nick Fury, unless it's a life model decoy.
It might be.
Yeah. I mean, actually, that's more likely now that I think about it.
I never for once actually thought that this was Nick Fury being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Teaming up with a group that looks like Hydra.
Yeah.
Which is something that Brubaker, do we really need another terrorist cell in the Marvel Universe? You got AIM, you got Hydra, now we have Leviathan. We really need the snake pit guys, whatever they're called?
Well, at least they don't wear beekeeper outfits.
At least.
I don't mind having another organization because DC does this all the time. It's not that big of a deal to me, but and characterization was pretty much comparable to the way that these characters have been placed in the past. Nova's just happy to be on an Avengers team and splitting his time as is. The redemption of Ant-Man is pretty much apparent even in this. Valkyrie just seems to be happy to be on a team, period, because she's been completely in, she was in the Initiative for a little while, right?
Who?
Yeah, right. I mean, she's a former Defender. So yeah, so is Moon Knight, but he was on like the Secret Defenders, not even like one of the good teams. What do you think about Moon Knight in this book, by the way? I mean, do you think he's actually worth redeeming?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. At least he left his house.
At least.
I give it about I give this one a 4 out of 5. I mean, it's a nice building storyline and. It's certainly a story that I'm going to continue reading, and it's reminiscent to what I liked about Dark Avengers and Thunderbolts, only with a happy side. And Hank is in it, not being all wah, 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 Scott Summers sucks. So that makes me happy.
Yeah, I'll dig it. I'll give it a 4 as well.
Sweet. So, out of all these Avengers books, are you continuing to read all of them?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So not one of them is in your drop pile yet.
Not yet.
All right. If it's going to be any of them, I mean, I like Avengers Academy, but Avengers Academy would be the first one to go because that's the ancillary book.
I agree.
Yeah, but we'll see. Okay. Moving on to DC. You want to go Batman Beyond or Birds of Prey?
Let's do Beyond.
Okay, good, because it's the first one that I pulled out. Written by Adam Beechin of Teen Titans and Robin fame, and with art by Ryan Benjamin and John Stanisky. Now, this is the first Batman Beyond title, other than that Superman Batman annual, that seems to be going for like $7 or $8 on eBay right now.
Glad I bought that.
Yeah, I wish I did too, but I didn't, and that is sucky. Was that a good issue?
Actually, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that was
despite
the one that...
being written by Paul Levitz.
Oh, ouch. Burn.
I'm just saying. I mean, just saying.
All right. Well, this one's written by Beechin. And it takes place smack dab in the Batman Beyond universe. I mean, it's not—it's certainly not after Epilogue. This is way before that. So don't have to worry about, you know, Terry brooding over the fact that he's Bruce's son. Even though we see Amanda Waller in this, this is, you know, a younger Amanda Waller. And really, this is just like maybe a little bit after, I would say at least a little bit after the finale of the actual finale of Batman Beyond, and just continuing the story. And we have a situation here where...
Okay, Jersey Shore.
What?
We have a situation here.
Oh, dear God.
Jersey Shore. Come on, dude.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't watch that show and never will. So we have an occurrence here. Hey, somebody order an occurrence. That it looks like Hush has broken free, and if this is indeed the Hush that we know, Terry's gonna have some hands full pretty soon. That seems to be the full plot of the story here. That a bunch of Batman villains are going down the way that previous villains would handle things, like Two-Face style, Riddler style, Joker style, and Terry's trying to track it down while Bruce helps him out, and they stumble across the bandages, and this might be Hush. So, what do you think?
You know what? I turned my nose up when I saw that Ryan Benjamin was an art, and then when I actually got the book, I went, holy snap. Where's this Ryan Benjamin been?
What's he done in the past? Because the name sounds familiar.
He was the last issue of Batman before RIP started.
Ooh, okay.
And he was on Batman and the Outsiders,
mm-hmm.
On the RIP tie-ins.
Gotcha. Okay.
So with those, he had some really – and he was also in – I think he did the Robin books for Yeah, he did Detective Comics,
mm-hmm.
in the Return of Ra's al Ghul crossover.
Gotcha. Okay.
So he's been in the Batman world, but his style has been so one that's so – like you want to talk about scratchy, liney. You would look at a face of his and it would be frickin' like, you know, here's a 20-year-old looking like an 80-year-old because there's so many lines in his face,
mm-hmm.
in the wrong places.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was just like overdone. And then you get here and – I know he's totally mimicking the animated stuff, but dude, stick with this.
Oh yeah,
because this works for you. This is fantastic.
Well, and I mean, you say that he's mimicking it, and yet there's enough of his own personal flair in it where I don't just think that this is
right. It's not straight Bruce Timm anime style.
Right.
There's a lot more detail in stuff like that than there is, lack of it.
Which might very well be the Stanisky inks.
Might be.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. And David Barron's on colors. I mean, you cannot go wrong with David Barron. I mean, that guy's like the DC stalwart right there when it comes, mm-hmm. to colors. And I like...
Him and Alex Sinclair.
Wait, really?
Hold on. Alex Sinclair? Yeah.
Wait.
Not on this book, but I mean DC Star Wars.
Well, all right, all right. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Well,
I mean, you want to get a you know, the wham bam thank you man colors.
That's Alex Sinclair.
DC is Alex Sinclair.
All right, all right. I'll give you that. Well, then,
and hi-fi.
Well, then, all right.
Job too, but David Baron, excellent job, my friend.
Yes,
excellent.
Yes, and it's this was like old home for me. You know, like mm-hmm. reading this, Beechin captures the style of Batman Beyond almost perfectly. You know, Bruce is a crotchety old man, but not so much that he comes off as like a grandfather. And
what I want to know is why he's calling him Mr. Wayne.
Yeah, that's the one part.
Because towards
Richard.
The end, and even the second season, he was calling him Bruce,
mm-hmm.
or old man, or something.
Yeah,
that's my only nitpick.
Yeah, all right, nitpick well taken. Nitpick well taken. And also, I like the
you know, the Batmobile's back. I like mm-hmm. Ace.
Yep.
You know, touching the finger to the glass to hear what's going on inside. Totally a Batman Beyond stable.
Oh,
stable.
Yeah.
Not even the, you know, I'm not talking about the invisibility, turning the belt, shot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful stuff, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and the villains were right on here, too.
Yeah. Micron, I was like, oh, it's the Atom. And then he said Micron. I was like, oh, fucking Micron. Right. Justice League.
Yes.
And they started talking about Justice League and how he turned him down, and I totally remember those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Great episodes. And then the hypnotist guy, I forget his name, but he was a really cool villain.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
track it down in this issue, because
Spellbinder.
Yeah, there you go, Spellbinder. Okay, yeah. No, just overall, this was a return to my youth here. It made me very happy, and they picked the right guy with Beechin. You know, because Beechin wrote a great Robin when he was doing it. And McGinnis has the same sort of style that Tim Drake has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's professional, but he's also smarmy. You know, he can crack a joke, but he can also be serious when he needs to be.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is almost top of the stack for me. I mean, I was considering, you know, dropping it and just doing the trade, but I've already pre-ordered issues 2 and 3, and I just pre-ordered issue 4, so I'm in the long haul for this. I hope there's a lot more to go after this. And they hinted at Comic-Con that Paul Dini might actually write some Batman Beyond upcoming, which would be pretty damn cool for me. So,
well, I know this is just a miniseries, so I waited on this, so I just got the first issue, but mm-hmm. this would be definitely something I'm looking for in trade, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No question.
5 out of 5 for me.
5 out of 5, man. Welcome back, youth. That's... This is digging it for me, man, right there. And talking about old home, well, for me at least, because you never read Birds of Prey up until this point, right?
No.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'll let you cover this.
Okay, Birds of Prey. You know, we revisited Mark Waid going back to Flash when he came back. Can you go home again? This is Gail Simone returning home after about, what has been, like a year, I guess, since the...
About 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Really, that long?
Yeah, time flies, man.
Oh, well, they did have someone else write it for
Yeah, Bedard wrote Birds of Prey after Gail Simone left.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so it's been dead for a year. Bedard wrote it for probably a year before that, I guess. So, yeah, you're right, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess since she jumped off once Secret Six started up, didn't it? Right?
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah, that's exactly how it went.
Secret Six and Wonder Woman came up, and she just had to drop Birds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The bird is the word.
Bird is the word. So, opens up with Dinah kicking ass. I love this scene. I really dug it. Ed Benes on art, can't go wrong with him on Hot Beautiful Women, so...
Mm-hmm.
And definitely a more polished Ed Benes than we've seen back when he was doing Justice League and doing his own inks.
Well, you want to know the reasoning behind that? Not just because of the inks, but Gail Simone gets on Ed Benes. Because this isn't the first time that they've worked together on Birds of Prey.
Right.
Like, at the beginning of Gail Simone's run initially, Ed Benes was the artist, and he made him tone down on the... she made him tone down on the panty shots. She made him, you know... zoom in when necessary and not when not necessary, you know, and tried to get him to really get the action scenes a lot more fluid, and I think that that helped it out a lot.
Well, I mean, he was doing the Justice League stuff, and I liked what he was doing, and then, you know, towards the end of McDuffie's run, he switched over from using his wife or Sandra Hope to ink him and started inking his own.
Yeah.
And it kind of got a little sloppy.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot thicker than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But here, I don't see that Ed Bennis. I see Ed Bennis and Sandra Hope Ed Bennis, and it's outstanding, really.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, the art is outstanding.
I would agree.
Agreed. But it doesn't seem that Ed Bennis understands that Huntress's costume, it's not a huge cleavage shot all the way up.
Well,
or you know, that she's just not nude underneath the black part, because if you look at the coloring has to fill in the white for him every time.
Yeah.
Which, in terms of a costume, why don't they just go white all the way down and you don't have to worry about it?
Or better yet, use the damn costume that covers her whole body, because Huntress doesn't make any sense with that outfit.
I dig the outfit, but it just... they really don't need the midriff showing in the middle.
Worst outfit Jim Lee has ever designed, and that it's including the new piece of crap Wonder Woman outfit.
So yeah, it's just weird. Just weird.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it isn't the... What the...
What?
Okay, no, he gets it on the cover, mm-hmm. and then when they're on the rooftop, he doesn't get it. Or forgets about it, or whatever.
Oh,
okay.
Whatever. All right. Come on. Moving on. Yeah.
You go into the alley. The first shot you see her in the alley with the penguin.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line there. That's the inks. And then you go to when the white canary shows up in shadow.
Yeah.
There's like a little panel of her and Black Canary defending the penguin. No line, but even the colorist forgot there. But I mean, that right there, that I like the full white. I like that.
Oh yeah,
I dig it.
Mm-hmm. No, but, and even the idea of White Canary in general, I like, because not only do we not know who it is, but
no, I'm still talking about Huntress's costume.
Oh, Huntress's costume. Okay, you like the white. Okay, sorry.
See, I don't think there should be the midriff bearing.
Oh, dude.
But if White Canary totally just wanted to you know, color wrong the inside of the you know, costume, I'd be fine too. So
anyway,
moving along. No, I dug it. As a first issue, it was really good.
Okay.
Is Brent going to continue reading? No.
Oh.
Just personal preference.
Is it a Brent may pick it up eventually in trade book?
Honestly, I don't buy a lot of trades because there hasn't been a lot of stuff that I wasn't picking up or had an interest to. So.
Okay, but would this be one of those books?
It would be one of those books I would pick up in Barnes and Noble and sit down and read kind of thing.
Okay.
When it was there. I don't know if I would buy it.
All right. Well,
just for me, just a bunch of girls on a team. Yes, they're badass. Just, I don't know.
A bunch of girls and Hawk. Huh?
Okay. And Hawk.
All right. But and that's
I don't really like Hawk as a character.
Hey, so. I like extending the bird theme. You know, they're birds of prey. There are plenty of birds of prey that are not female.
Okay, I liked it. You know, it was cool.
Yeah, so I dug it. This was welcome back, Gail, for me here, because I mean now that she's off of Wonder Woman, I mean she's doing Birds, she's doing Secret Six, and I think she might have another DC project in the works, but she's also doing Welcome to Tranquility again, and this is a return to two books for Gail here that I just feel that I've been missing this. You know, this is the type of book. Birds of Prey, I mean, I like all female teams, and, you know, yeah, whatever, Hawk's there, but he's Hawk. You know, he's going to be basically told to shut the hell up by Black Canary every 5 seconds anyway. But this is the stealth team that Secret Avengers is over in Marvel. That's what Birds of Prey usually is. You know, they go into the situations that no other team does. It's what Tomasi tried to do with Outsiders that never really worked. You know, that's what Birds of Prey is, and we see the beginning of that here, and I'm very, very happy to see it back. And yeah, the art was damn good too. I mean, I'm hit and miss on Bendis, but this was the Bendis that I like. So I'm a happy. I'm a happy camper. All right.
Can I just say that I what was it? I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, the costume that Buccaneer has in the beginning, I think works a lot better than the fishnets and jacket.
Oh hell yeah!
I mean, I know people were bashing on Wonder Woman with the jacket, but I mean, Black Canary, come on, doesn't need a jacket.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
No, she doesn't, and she doesn't need fishnets either.
Yeah, I would totally prefer just a straight black jumpsuit with the yellow down the side. I thought that was a really sharp look for her.
Totally, yeah. I mean, yes, she was wearing it because she was in freezing cold weather, but could you imagine if she was in freezing cold weather with those fishnets? She'd get frostbite.
Yeah.
At least Bendis was smart enough to dry those on. Because then all of a sudden we'd have two characters in wheelchairs. That would be uncomfortable. It's hard for me to say good things about this because it's just all of it's good. I mean, Oracle, Barbara, this is the second book for Barbara Gordon because technically she's a main character in Batgirl, and she's also a main character here, but it's two facets of the Oracle role, you know, because here this is her as the point man. You know, as the I need you here now type of individual, while in Batgirl, she's more the trainer. You know, she's more the teacher. And I think both roles work for Barbara, and she needs to have a place to display both sides of herself. This is a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you read Batgirl?
No.
Okay.
And I think I did drop Supergirl.
Really?
Sorry, Jamal. Yeah, I don't know. I may pick it back up. I was looking for things to cut, and I went, you know, the Superman books are no longer being, linked together and stuff like that. That's a book I could cut.
All right.
Because honestly, that was the only reason I was getting Supergirl at the time.
Well, the
only female book I'm getting right now is Wonder Woman.
Bizarro Supergirl. Okay, that's the reason to still be reading this book.
I ordered those issues.
Okay, good.
So I will read those, but once that's once September rolls around, that's done. I'm out of there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also another thing.
Nothing to say about the quality, but I mean, it was kind of weird because it had the, one issue of Supergirl, and it jumps right into the new Krypton stuff, and it was like it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, but I don't know.
Eh.
I just felt like that's a book I could do without.
It's understandable. Understandable. It happens. I mean, well, that's how I've been lately myself. I mean, I almost wound up dropping, not even starting Green Lantern and Emerald Warriors because while I'm looking forward to it, I don't know if I want to pick it up every single month.
Right. You know? And that's why I was looking for things to drop because that's coming up. I know I want to get Batman Inc. and the Finch book just because it's Finch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably end up dropping Streets of Gotham and Azrael when those kick up. Next order, I'll probably drop Azrael. I know I did drop Detective. I dropped that.
Oh, I dropped Detective like a dead weight, man. The minute the Batwoman story was over, I was gone.
Yeah, so I dropped that. And
although I think I'll wind up waiting for trade on Batwoman once that starts.
Yeah,
up.
The same thing with that because it'll be late, I'm sure.
Yes. We love you, J.H. Williams, but you are late.
Yes, you are not known for your speed, yeah. So miss Adi.
Somebody who is known for the speed, however, and I will profess my love for Lady Blackhawk, Gail has done so much for this character because she was just sitting there in limbo for basically years.
Limbo.
And then she brought her into the birds, made sense for her to be there. She's the transport. She's the, the kit to their Knight Rider. You know, and that's everything that the birds need. So I'm 6 out of 5 for this book. I mean, yeah, I like Birds of Prey in the first place, so I'm very happy to have it back, and I'm going to continue to be reading it every single month. So very, very happy.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it a 4.
All right, good.
It was a really good, outstanding issue. So
hey, I'm happy you liked it. Even if it's not something that you're going to be picking it up on a regular basis, I'm happy that you liked it enough to maybe read more of it at some point.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy. All right. Books that we'll be doing in the future. What have we not covered from this session? What do we got left?
Well, we are an hour and a half into the recording. So at this point, we can either say continue or stop. We have Thor, the Kieran Gillen, which was supposed to be the Fraction Pascal Ferry issue, but that got moved back because of art issues. We've got X-Men number 1, Curse of the Mutants, IDW's Jurassic Park, Legion of Superheroes, and Haunt number 7.
Okay, you know what, actually? Let's do X-Men and Jurassic Park, and then we'll call it a night.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Start off with X-Men, okay? Because this is the one that's freshest on my mind, because Tick and X-Men I literally read tonight. And this is the beginning of a new X-Men here, but not new X-Men, because they didn't go the Avengers route here. It's a new X-Men team.
This is the beginning of X-Men, which was, got turned into X-Men Legacy a while back.
Even though X-Men Legacy is still running. So they basically pull the Hulk here.
So I'm a little confused. So X-Men Legacy, what is that about now?
X-Men Legacy is now, I think it's about Rogue.
Is it a Rogue book?
Maybe.
But they know a Rogue book wouldn't sell, so they're just calling it X-Men Legacy?
Dude, I stopped reading that. Like, I was still picking up issues, and I wasn't reading it. So I have like a year's worth sitting in my back issue bins that I'm just not.
Honestly, I don't buy any of the X-Men books. I will download them if I really want to read them.
You're not even picking up Uncanny?
No, I have not. I read the Nation X storyline in Barnes & Noble the other day in that big deluxe hardcover, so that helped me out.
All right.
From where they picked up after Utopia X with the Dark Avengers crossover.
Right.
So I'm all caught up to when Kitty Pryde returned. All right.
Well, that's good, because, actually, it's good that you're waiting on Matt.
And I dug Fraction's work on it. I think he's doing a really good job.
He definitely is, yeah.
And Terry Dodson, I liked. Land, not so much.
Porn face.
But no, I mean, what the fuck was it? No, so I did not read Second Coming. Mm-hmm. New Mutants, I don't know who they are. X-Men Legacy, I read some of that. I was downloading some of that. Mm-hmm. And what's the other books they got out there, too? This one. Yeah, so this one I picked up for that.
Well, Second Coming, again, it's good that you're waiting, because they did that whole full crossover thing, which pisses me off, because I'm missing a bunch of it, because I only pick up X-Force and Uncanny.
Mm-hmm.
So, when important shit happened in New Mutants, that pissed me the hell off. So.
Well, I was reading X-Force through downloads, too. Mm-hmm. But once Necrotia started up, I was like, fuck that. I dropped that like a stone from my downloads list.
Necrotia also, I was only reading the X-Force parts, so like I didn't even get the end of it because I was only reading it through X-Force. But
well, so this is what I don't understand. We have this, the end of Second Coming. They have how many existing X-Books? Uncanny. Mm-hmm. New Mutants.
Yeah.
2. X-Men Legacy. 3. Yeah. And then we're launching Wolverine number 1.
Mm-hmm.
We're launching X-Men number 1.
Yeah.
We're launching a new Blade series, which isn't going to last longer than this storyline.
Yeah.
We're launching a new Namor series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Yeah, 4 new series.
I'm not counting Namor and Blade
Storm
as
Storm and
X-Men.
Gambit?
Storm and Gambit, that's a limited series.
That's a limited? Okay. Yeah. And then X-Men versus Vampires.
Limited.
Is that crossing over into this storyline, or is that just
ancillary
other vampire stories?
Ancillary, I believe.
I'm just like, Jesus Christ. I mean,
no. Well, I'm
fucking new books from a vampire stories.
Well,
again,
the only thing I'm picking up is X-Men number 1. Well, X-Men in general. I'm not picking up any of the other titles because they're not suckering me in that way. It's not going to happen this time. You know, because I'm sick of crossovers, and they're lucky I'm even picking up X-Men number 1, because, I was reading X-Men Legacy, but I dropped it because I wasn't interested. This one I'm just giving a chance here because it's vampires, and I liked what Paul Cornell was doing with Dracula in his MI-13 book, and are hoping this is going to be along those lines, even though it's not him, it's Gersher.
But did you read the Death of Dracula one shot?
I did not yet. No. No. bad?
I downloaded it because I figured probably leads into this, and you really don't need it to read this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But apparently there's like 6 different factions of vampires, all of which have different looks, which is why you have this, you know, you have the one that blows up in the beginning, and then you have the really ugly goblin looking ones. Mm-hmm. That's like a totally different race of vampire. There's like 6 of them.
Okay.
And then at the end of that, and then this guy that is talking to the blonde girl for like 1 panel or 2 panels or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like one of Dracula's sons. There's 2 of them.
Okay.
So one of Dracula's sons kills Dracula in this Death of Dracula one shot. And basically becomes the new leader of the vampires, or has to get the factions together.
Mm-hmm.
And then so this other guy is like I can't forget if he's killed, but he's like the more good son of Dracula, if you would.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
It doesn't really matter because the bad one is still in charge, and that's who's plotting this attack and then, the Curse of the Mutants.
And then they save Bella from Jacob?
Right, right. Yeah. And so at the end of that, they develop this technology that gives them these amulets, which allows them to bend the sunlight around them. So now they can walk during the day.
Ooh, they're sunbenders.
So that's why you see them, which is kind of interesting. After the attack, those 2 vampires in the skyscraper,
mm-hmm.
they're probably wearing an amulet or something somewhere.
Gotcha.
So, that's what the big goblin things are wearing when they come out of the water. The big red thing is the sunbender amulet.
That makes more sense. I thought that they were just cast-offs from Thundercats.
So that's what's going on, really. So right. I mean, there you have it.
Okay. Well, first time.
Noticed also. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No, go ahead.
I don't read X-Men a lot, so I noticed they have the classic X-Men logo on here.
Yeah, that's new.
I like it.
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen that on an X-book in quite some time. You know what? You know why it's there, though? Because it actually looks more vampire-y.
Yeah. I'm kind of not digging the vampire, the whole thing, but oh well.
Well, all right.
But I will say, Adi Granoff, I can't get enough of this man. Can't get enough.
He's
just wish Viva Las Vegas number 3 would come out.
Never. Never. Well, he never does anything but covers, man. It pisses me off. I mean, except for Viva Las Vegas, but wasn't that also the fault of Mr. Writer Man and not just him?
Yeah, I'm sure it's
John Favreau's got other shit to do.
Fault, not fart. I know he's doing a bunch of movies and stuff, so I don't blame him.
John Fartrow, am I right?
John Favreau. No. Yeah. John Favreau's the man, so.
Well, before I comment on the story, welcome back, Paco Medina. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read any of the stuff by him, but oh my god, he's cool.
He did a lot of the Deadpool stuff. Mainly
another book I'm not reading.
Yeah, well, Cable Deadpool he's done. He did regular Deadpool for a while, and he also did. I think he did some work on Cable, for a little bit, but not the current Straczynski stuff, but before that. However the hell you pronounce his name, man. and now he's on here and very, very clean. Oh, you know what else he did? He also did the new X-Men, new X-Men Academy. You know, back when they were doing that like ages ago. He was the writer on that. I mean, the artist on that. And here he is actually doing a main X-Men book, and I'm happy to see him there because he's got a nice clean line. Sort of Waringo-esque at points, but it works really well in the story, I think.
No, it has just the right amount of style. He's really good. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he draws a good Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And happy to see Jubilee back. Yes, and Pixie. Oh, yeah, Pixie, okay? Fucking Pixie. If I see Greg Land's Pixie one more time, I'm going to puke. This girl's supposed to be in her early teens. It's the same way he draws Hope. He draws Hope like a freaking supermodel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Hope looks just like Jean Grey in Storm.
Yes!
And I love how Storm's like a really tan white woman anytime he draws her. Like, you can't find a black woman on the internet to model her after.
It's exactly how 11 o'clock put it. He draws Hope with double D's. All right, she's 16.
I hope she has double. Actually, I knew a girl in eighth grade who had some pretty big double D's.
Damn. Yeah. Did she get reduction?
Probably.
Yeah, because that's gonna.
Because I was looking at her Facebook the other day and was like, they don't look as big as they used to.
Yes, and you were studying them very carefully.
Mandy didn't hear that.
Yes, I know. Written by Victor Gishler, who is this guy? Well, I think his name is Victor Gishler. really, I have no idea
that's
where he's from.
Smart ass. Smart cat.
What? You don't know that by now? Jesus, man.
Jesus.
This is his first stuff for Marvel, I'm pretty sure. If not, it's pretty damn close to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I want to know, and you may be more well-versed on this,
mm-hmm.
are we going to have different teams and stuff of different X-Men books like we did when we had, you know, X-Men and Uncanny, and X-Men was like Rogue's team and had Sabretooth and all those guys dealing with the supernovas? And they had the other guys in Uncanny?
It's weird, but I don't think so anymore. That's what's frustrating to me. Like, there's like, yeah, I know that there's only like 198 mutants left, and after Second Coming, there's like 192. But, the main X-Men team seems to be, like, Cyclops, Wolverine, Angel, sometimes Colossus, sometimes Pixie, and then from there you can bring in Storm if you want, and that's about where it ends. So to answer your question, it's probably not going to be two separate teams, unless they really decide to do that. Because, I mean, on this front cover here, you see Rogue,
White Queen, everybody. Magneto.
Right, even Magneto thrown in there, and they're not even in this issue. So if they're going to show up eventually, then that's fine, but this seemed to be an issue with like five X-Men in it, which I'm okay with. But I kind of prefer there being multiple teams, really. Like, I miss the blue and gold days, you know?
I never read those, but I like the way they split it up in Uncanny and X-Men when they were doing the super, when it was like Rogue's team.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. No, I like
a clear definition, and at that point in time, too, I think all the good people were tied up in Astonishing or something like that.
Well,
is what the deal was, and then they used the side characters in the main X-Men books.
Right, and now here we are, where like the Astonishing team is like in every book.
Right.
That's what's so goddamn weird to me, because at the same time that this is going on, these same characters will be appearing in Matt Fraction's separate Uncanny X-Men story.
Right.
So you gotta just like separate it in your head. It's like, you know, Iron Man Legacy and Invincible Iron Man are two separate things. But this is
I'm not even counting Legacy as a continuity. I'm just saying,
yeah,
that's like Marvel Adventures or something, I guess.
Okay, then it's like how Spider-Man is off fighting the Lizard in his own book, and yet he's with the new Avengers.
Right.
You know, that's the way this has got to be. Like, these events are happening at around the same time, but this happened on Tuesday and they were on Uncanny X-Men on Wednesday. Really, my only explanation. But to go into the plot of the issue real quick, there's a vampire dressed like he just got out of an S&M bondage store, who blows himself up.
How does he do that, Ian?
With a kaboom.
He takes his jacket off and explodes.
Yeah, which was a good idea, you know? Really good idea.
I like that, the exploding rather than the melting.
Yes.
Because it didn't seem like there was anything. And if you watch True Blood, when mm-hmm. they kill a True Blood vampire,
yeah,
with the wood stake like they did on Sunday night,
yeah,
they kind of melt into a pile of goop.
Yeah, I haven't watched Sunday night's episode yet, so fuck you.
Oh my god, dude. Go fucking watch that. That episode is so good.
I'm about a week behind, because I watch it with a friend, and we're about a week behind. So
okay.
last episode I watched was not this Sunday's, but the one before that.
Okay, that one was kind of boring.
Yeah.
But this one coming up is...
Okay. Also, remember, I don't have HBO, so I wound up downloading it. But,
download it like the day after. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. All right, but... Yeah, he explodes himself and, by pure coincidence, winds up all over Jubilee. And who happens to be hanging out with Pixie because Pixie wants to remind her that the X-Men still love her. And, yeah.
This is what I don't get. Pixie...
Yeah.
Pixie sitting with Jubilee.
Yeah.
Gets up. Walks away. Okay, there you go. Walks away. The guy explodes, but then he covers Jubilee in his blood.
Yes.
Pixie doesn't have a drop on her. You would think she would have a little bit.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Pixie then hugs Jubilee.
And doesn't get any blood on her.
Still clean. Okay.
Well, see, Pixie is a pixie. So maybe she's like got doesn't she also have like a personal force field or something, or is that?
Hey, you're talking to the guy who doesn't read X-Men.
Now she's a teleporter, but she's also got like magic abilities. So that's got to be it. She's got a magical protection of her clothes so that they don't have to go to the laundry.
And wings, okay.
And wings, because Red Bull. So Cyclops and Wolverine see this, see what happens on the news. They're like, oh shit, that sucks, but at least Jubilee's okay. Or is she? Bum, bum, bum. Gets checked out by the docs, and, they're running their tests, and they find out that Jubilee is slowly turning into a vampire, which sucks because, well, I like Jubilee, so hopefully she'll survive this whole experience and not be a vampire.
She'll get one of those light bender thingies.
Yes. She'll get one of those lightbender
things.
She'll do it
with her fireworks all the time.
And she'll sharpen her fangs. And she'll be able to beat people with her fangs.
Maybe she'll be like the Twilight vampires who can shine during the day.
I'm going to completely ignore that statement, and I'm going to move on. while this is all going on, we got the whole vampire thing, starting up.
The goblin sect vampires.
Yeah. Oh, the what? Goblin sect, you said?
They just look like goblins.
Yeah. Okay.
They look like the vampires from Blade 2 with the really big, like, wing mouths where they're like...
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that.
But they look more like monsters.
Yeah. And while they're planning their plan, saying this is all going according to plan, Angel and Wolverine go out to try and track them down. Along with Pixie, Wolverine uses his big nose to find the vampires. And... cuts the head off of a vampire because he's the best there is at what he does, and what he does is decapitation.
So Angel.
Yeah.
Is he Archangel?
Both. He's both.
Does he still have metal?
He's both.
How?
He can squeeze really hard and go between the two.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yeah, he has the ability to switch back and forth now.
I mean, I realize he's kind of useless when he's not Archangel.
Yeah.
But I mean,
pick up the trade of X-Force at some point or
oh, I you know what? I did read that when he flipped out.
Yeah.
In okay, that's right.
Yeah, when he almost killed Ron.
So when he turns into Archangel now, is he still going batshit crazy?
No, he's calmed down, but he does get angry.
He gets a lot angrier.
Yeah. Because he's still Death, whether he likes it or not, he's still Death. So
okay. So how come when they're surrounded by vampires, we just see Wolverine slicing people up, and Warren just kind of flies away and doesn't turn into Archangel?
Because he doesn't like turning into Archangel.
Oh, also, when he turns into Archangel, does his costume change as well?
Yes, it does.
Automatically?
I'm going to attribute it to unstable molecules, because that's the explanation for everything in the Marvel Universe.
Right.
just like if Wolverine squeezed hard enough, he could turn Earth tone if he really wanted to. back at the island of Island O X-Men, Jubilee is slowly exhibiting the signs of being a vampire. She can't stand herself anymore, which makes her very sad. And they find the den of people. This is the one thing that confused me. These are just regular human beings, right? That they found the den of. Like they're just being drained for their blood, or are these vampires that are being drained for their blood?
I would want to say vampires because they're all really pale, except All of the X-Men are pale here too.
Yeah, but then
but they have the masks.
Yeah.
That look like the Suicide Bomber masks.
Okay.
And lots of blades.
All right. So they're being prepped to be Suicide Bombers.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
Because that's what Cyclops
says.
Yeah,
he says
they've established a beachhead.
They've established a beachhead, right? So that's got to be vampires.
Okay. All right. And they decide at this point that they got a Dracula problem. If only they knew. To be continued as Jubilee looks out into the sunset, thinking, now I can walk outside and not die. So, that was the first issue. Next issue is going to have Blade in it. I like Blade. I like that Paul Cornell remembered that he's British. And and we'll see where this whole thing goes. It was an okay story. It's not the best X-Men story I've read. It's not far from the worst. Storm was in it for 8 seconds, remembering that she fought Dracula at one point. So
I didn't see why it needed to be launched into its own book.
Yeah, I know. I don't see
unless Legacy is really doing something whiz-bang fantastical. I didn't see why it needed its own book.
Because they like it when people buy their books.
I guess so.
And they like charging $3.99 for miniseries, and some suckers will actually pay
X-Men
that.
Is X-Men still like a really big seller, I guess?
X-Men is a decent seller. Uncanny does pretty well. X-Men Legacy was doing shit for a while because that's X-Men Legacy. You know, nobody really cares. But Uncanny still does pretty good numbers for them. They're hoping that with this.
When they cancel Legacy and then this one goes in a couple issues, they're probably going to switch this one to X-Men 300.
Yeah, and then confuse everybody.
Didn't they just do 200 a couple years ago, 250?
God damn it, I give up. I totally give up. Overall, it's okay. I mean, it's not the best story I've read. Gishler doesn't bore me or anything. I mean, he uses characters that I like. It's just, I don't know how thrilled I am about a vampire story, really. Which sucks, because I was looking forward to vampires after Paul Cornell, but I think Paul Cornell vampired me out, really. Because, I mean, come on, he had Dracula on the moon. How awesome is that?
You didn't make me read that one. You made me read the weird one with the mind people.
Yeah, I know that, because obviously I picked the wrong arc.
Well, you didn't know what was coming in the future.
That's true. That's true.
I liked it.
3 out of 5.
I'll give it a 4. I thought it was good.
Okay. Are you going to continue to read it?
No.
Okay.
I am breaking my rule of if I'm not going to pick it up, it doesn't get higher than a 3. Right. Because this issue and Birds of Prey were both particularly good in terms of first issues.
I could totally see you eventually reading the trade of this, whether it be
I will read that trade for sure, the X-Men one.
Yeah,
because I like to try and keep up on the X-Men stuff.
Right. I mean, I know you well enough where if you like this in particular, because I mean, Birds of Prey you have no history with. X-Men you at least have somewhat of a history with.
Yeah, I have all the new X-Men stuff.
Right.
With the Grant Morrison new X-Men, not the Kitty new X-Men.
Yes, yeah. Which was good stuff. Yeah. I'm gonna continue reading this for at least 5 or 6 issues, and if it doesn't grab me, then I'll drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop. So you're not gonna get the Jerome Opeña X-Force? I really don't see what the big deal is with this artist, Jerome Opeña.
Is that Uncanny X-Force?
He took over Punisher.
Oh, him. Yeah.
Before it was Franken Punisher.
Yeah.
And now he's doing the Uncanny X-Force with
Remender.
I guess it's DNA or no, Remender. Remember.
Yeah. Remember. Remember the Rick of Remender.
Seems like anywhere that guy goes, Opeña goes.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've worked together a lot in the past.
On Fear Agent and stuff. I know, I realize that, but
and really since you keep accidentally saying DNA, they're working on Iron Fist and Power Man. That's what they're doing.
But it's the new Power Man.
Yeah, the new Power Man, the teenage
Who's
one.
Coming out of Shadowland, shitty miniseries.
Yeah, I actually have officially dropped Daredevil because I just don't care anymore.
I couldn't believe that for this little mini event, they're launching like 5 Shadowland miniseries. And then in the Marvel solicits for this month, too, there's like 3 new ones.
Yeah, I don't know what the
hell. I was like, good God.
I don't know what the hell they're thinking, but no one is going to buy this.
It's like Moon Knight. He needs another miniseries. Yeah.
Ugh, God. At least the Moon Knight miniseries that's going on now is at least Secret Avengers-esque. But
is he still have a series?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, all I know is that in one of his series, the Secret Avengers are going to be in it. And there's a Valkyrie one shot that's coming out that actually Brian J. Glass is writing. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to see him actually getting some work because, you know, CGS.
Yeah, listen, that was a really good interview. He sounded really cool.
Oh yeah, and I hung out with him and Adam and Comfort at C2E2, and really nice guy.
Cool.
But Jurassic Park will be our last book of the night, and I will have Mr. Cassina explain that to the world because
goodness,
he probably do a much better job of it than I will.
Actually, I read this when it got shipped to my house 2 weeks ago or a week ago. I don't know. So please forgive me if I don't remember.
That's fine. Well, writer Bob Schreck, artist Nate Van Dyke, colorist Jamie Grant, and letterer Chris Mowry. Bob Schreck being, the story.
The former
Bob
Batman
Schreck.
Editor.
Yes, former Batman editor, former Marvel editor, Dark Horse, Graffiti Designs, Oni Press, yada, yada, yada. So he's been everywhere.
Okay. So basically the premise of this book is, remember Jurassic Park?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Okay, remember the two little kids from the first one?
Yeah.
They are the people, I guess they're the main characters in this book.
Yes.
But how no longer are they little kids, they are grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
20-something. So basically, Jurassic Park happened back in 1993 when it came out, when the movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward to now, and that's pretty much where you're at.
It makes sense, you know, because, I mean the movies continued to age them, so it makes sense to have them be older here.
Well, because Alan Grant wasn't getting any younger, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I really had a hard time keeping up with what was going on in the very beginning.
Yeah, you too,
basically,
huh?
there's some secret stuff going on the islands. Islands? I don't know if there's two or three anymore. I can't keep track of them.
No polar bears, though.
No polar bears. We do have velociraptors, I think. Yeah, you can do a shot of velociraptors, but you don't put their big claw in there to identify that they're velociraptors.
What the hell?
Mr. Van Dyke, you need to know the first rule of drawing velociraptors. That's big claw. Big claw.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the redhead, even though I think she was blonde in the movie, oversight.
Well, it's called hair
anyway,
dye. It's called hair
right,
dye.
Hair dye. Okay. She's talking at the United Nations about keeping these islands sealed off, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's about it.
Okay. And then elsewhere you have – it doesn't say it's elsewhere. It's elsewhere. People are feeding dinosaurs and creating experiments. And there's public backlash. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And then I guess it turns out that the – you know, they're in Texas, and that's where they're doing these experiments on dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Not in the actual islands.
Right.
And then you go to the islands, and – or do they go – yeah. And then the Ceratosaurus actually bites some wolves. Because he's in Texas, that's right. I guess.
Well, this is still going on in Texas from the looks of it.
Okay. Because he bites the sheep. The wolves and the cows.
Costa Rica and Texas seem to be the two locations here.
So the end, is that in Costa Rica?
Well,
no, it says Texas. Texas.
No, because girl is in Costa Rica.
She flies to Costa Rica.
Yes. I think the rest of it is taking place in Texas, yes.
So they have some animals in Texas. I don't know if they're secret or not.
Yeah.
And one of the animals escapes.
One of the dinosaurs escapes.
Somehow, yes. The Ceratosaurus. Mm-hmm. And chomps some people, and that's it.
Yeah. Very straightforward story. I mean, like, you knew from the minute that you picked up the book that, wow, I wonder when the dinosaurs are going to get loose.
That's the theme of every Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah, I know, but they could have changed things up a little bit. Maybe it's the one time where they don't get loose and they have a party. You know, it's just I was hoping for something with at least a little bit more suspense to it, and that's not exactly.
I was
got
disappointed.
Here.
I would have rather seen another venture out to the island, I guess,
mm-hmm.
in keeping with the movies, what they've been And all of this political stuff at the beginning really jarred me and just kind of made me not pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, this is the best movie tie-in, though. I mean, it's not exactly a movie tie-in, but this is the best like continuation of a movie that I've read in a while.
It's got its heart in the right place. I just think all of the political stuff needs to come after you get people acquainted with, yes, these are the little kids from the first movie.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that jarred me, and they're talking all this political stuff, and there's, who's in charge of the company. You need to set that stuff up first.
You should never never jump in assuming that your audience is going to know exactly who your characters are and what they're talking about.
Right. I mean, and these kids were in the first movie. We haven't seen them since then. We need to get more acquainted with them, number one, period. Mm-hmm. So I think it has started in the right spot, just started in the wrong spot.
Right. Now, what I will say is, love the paper quality. This is IDW. You know where you're getting when you pick it up. It's going to be a high quality book. It's $3.99, but it's worth it in page count and in quality. But Van Dyke, the artist, kind of channeled Howard Chaykin a little bit too much in points, specifically in the faces. Like it looked like a low rent Howard Chaykin at points.
Hmm.
I mean, what do you think?
It's hit or miss. We've definitely seen some worse art.
Certainly. I mean, after all, we did read. What was it? Caped or whatever.
Caped. Yeah. This certainly had the consistency and stuff that we've seen, and that we look for when we do indie books. So.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was well.
He did draw some nice dinosaurs, which is basically what he has to do.
Yes, he did.
He has to draw nice dinosaurs.
And his actually his location shots were pretty good too. I mean, all the establishing shots were there, and he was consistent on the people. It's just sometimes we didn't know what people were talking when because we didn't remember. That's it. 2.5 out of 5 maybe. It's just like. Again, the plot was just so coming right at me. I felt like I needed something before oh no dinosaurs attack. So that's what I'm giving it. 2.5 out of 5. I mean, I recommended this to a few people, and I would recommend it if you're a fan of Jurassic Park. I wouldn't recommend it to somebody who saw the first movie, has never read any of the books, and doesn't really want to get into it but likes dinosaurs. This is not for you. I mean, go read Turok, Dinosaur Hunter, or something. Go read something that's maybe a little bit more engaging. I can't believe I just said Turok is more engaging than Jurassic Park, but you get the idea.
Right.
And you?
I'll give it a 2.
Okay. Wow, that's good for an indie for you.
Well, your track record has not been so hot, my friend.
Did I pick this one? I forget.
I don't know.
I don't actually remember who picked this one. This might have actually been you.
No, I think you picked it.
Yeah.
I have not picked books in quite a while.
Yeah. Well, we should rectify that for September. We'll have you pick. Sound good?
Should rectify that. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, we'll rectify.
Oh, no, you already picked. Those you already sent that email
for September, sir. This is August when coming up.
No. You sent the September the books that come out in September. You sent that.
That's not what I meant. I meant September previews.
Oh.
Meaning ones that would come out in December, or whatever.
Whatever.
September,
all right.
September,
fine.
October, November.
Okay.
Okay. Oh dear God. All right. So for those of you who don't know, Comic Forums have been back for quite some time. So go ahead and check it out over at thecomicforums.com.
If you cannot log in, email Peter Rios.
Yes.
Something about that.
Which is what, peter@comicgeeksuite.com? Is that his address, I believe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Check. Make sure to do that. And if you're having any troubles, let us know, let him know, and yada, yada, yada. The books for August I'll read them off to you right now. Hopefully in the ads that are attached to this, we'll have the actual discounts. But the indie book is Star Trek Con Ruling in Hell, number one. Yet again, an Ian pick, so Brent's going to hate it. Written by Scott Tipton and David Tipton. This is a bridge gapper between when Khan showed up in the first Star Trek episode he was in and Star Trek II. So we're going to have a little bit of that. And 32 pages, $3.99 in stores on October 13th. So check that out. I mean, you're not that much of a Star Trek person, but you know at least a little bit Star Trek, right?
I watched Next Generation. I watched DS9 all the way through. I watched Voyager.
Yeah.
The only thing I have not watched was Enterprise.
So
I heard the theme song and then just went, fuck that.
I agree. However, apparently it gets better in season 3, but not a big deal.
Whatever.
I mean, have you watched any original Trek, though?
No.
All right. Then
maybe one episode.
What you might want to do is track down with possibly your cousin Bit the first season, just so you can watch the Khan episode, which would be the episode Space Seed, and then watch on Netflix Star Trek II. All right, because Star Trek II is actually a really good movie. You'll like that. That's one of the better Star Trek movies. Like it what they say is the odd movies suck and the even movies rule. And that's what happens here. Star Trek II is much better than Star Trek. Okay?
Okay.
All right? Okay. And then you'll actually maybe know what this issue is about. Because I'd hate for you to go in it like, what the fuck is a Khan?
I know who Khan is. Come on.
Ricardo Montalban.
Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah. Left with me, Jocko. No, Jocko. No need for profanity.
I think it's kind of funny. I'm looking through the DC previews for what's coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip Tan actually came back to Outsiders because Don Kramer moved on to Wonder Woman.
Oh, God.
Six years to draw the book now. Poor guy.
Wow. It's a real shame.
I dropped that book.
Oh, yeah. Same here. So, I dropped that after one issue of the Dio.
There's a book I can give away or sell, that whole Batman the Outsiders run.
Hells yeah.
I mean, the Chuck Dixon stuff was good, but it's not worth keeping.
No, because it was aborted.
Right.
I mean, really, like every single plot point he was working on.
10 issues is not enough, not worth keeping.
Not at all. Teen Titans number 88 is our DC pick, written by J.T. Krull, art and cover by Nicholas Scott. So I'm picking it up mostly for the art, but J.T. Krull might amaze me because he was good on those Titans Blackest Night issues.
Yeah, here's where I got lost.
Yeah.
The Titans Blackest Night issues were great.
Yeah.
Then Rise of Arsenal, not so great.
Yeah.
And Green Arrow, I'm still trying to wait to weigh a decision on.
I think I ordered the first issue of that just to see if it's any better than anything else that I've been reading lately with Green Arrow, and I'm just dropping it after that because, yeah, just no thank you. But this might be better because
the art is excellent. The Diogenes Nieves art is excellent.
Well, that's good. And the art is definitely going to be excellent here because this is Nicholas Scott. I mean, Nicholas Scott doesn't turn on a bad issue. I mean, the stuff – did you read her – were you reading Wonder Woman? I forgot.
Yes.
Okay, so you read her issues right before.
Yeah, I didn't think much of them.
Yeah?
Yeah. And because I read she did the Blackest Night Wonder Woman too.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I really don't know what to think about her.
Really?
She seems a little flat.
Hmm. Well, her art style is perfect for Teen Titans, though.
Okay.
I mean, just think about it, though, because, I mean, she's got a very traditional style. And that's sort of what we've been getting out of Teen Titans ever since John's run ended.
Mm-hmm.
So this is more of that. You know, she's along the lines of an Eddie Barrows.
Okay.
So we'll,
I like Eddie Barrows.
Yeah, so do I. So we'll see how this goes here. And the difference between Eddie Barrows and Nicholas Scott is that Nicholas Scott's on time. So yeah, this is a team of Superboy, Wonder Girl, Kid Flash, Raven, Beast Boy, and Ravager's back. So we'll see how this goes. And this $3.99 price tab because they hate us. And Amazing Spider-Man number 647 is the end of Brand New Day. Yeah. So, dear Chris Johnson, you have been invited back to the Spider-Man books.
The gauntlet has been thrown. Boom.
But for all we know, he'll still be, you know, unemployed and...
Unmarried.
And unmarried.
No, he's supposed to be employed.
Oh, he's supposed to be employed? Okay, but he might
and,
still be unmarried.
And I'm excited because Humberto Ramos is coming back to Spider-Man. Ooh,
Humberto
yay.
Ramos.
Humberto Ramos. Yeah. Well, but also, we're getting Stefano Caselli on Spider-Man.
Nice.
Which I guess means he is no longer doing Secret Warriors. Kind of would like to see him stick that out.
Well, actually, Secret Warriors is ending, though.
When? With what issue?
I'm not sure, but it has a set. It's always had a set end date. I
know, but is it 25? Is it 36?
I think it's 50.
No, that's too far. I think it's shorter than that.
That's too far ahead. Well, what issue are we up to
shorter
now?
Shorter than that. 21 was just in the Marvel solicits.
Either 25 or 30.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems more likely. But, I mean, they might keep him on there for all we know. I mean, maybe he can do two a month. We'll see. Did you finish the Chris Bachalo issues of Spider-Man?
Yes.
Oh, those were nice.
Very nice. Oh, yes.
Best Chris Bachalo I've seen in quite some time. Made me very, very happy. And, written by Bob Gale, Joe Carey, Kelly, Dan Slott, Fred Van Lente, Mark Waid, Zeb Wells. No DeFalco? Really? Really? I feel cheated. DeFalco! And pencils by Various. Cover by Mark Djurdjevic. How do you pronounce his name?
Marko Djurdjevic.
Thank you. It was that easy. And variant cover by Steve McNiven. So, after 101 issues, Brand New Day ends. And $4.99 for 64 pages here. It better be all story, okay? I don't want any freaking reprints here. They better not reprint the first issue of Brand New Day in this, okay? Because that's the sort of shit Marvel pulls these days. Where they give us, like, 32 pages of story, then you open it up, and it's, like, the first issue of Brand New Day completely reprinted in the back. It's like, no! We did not ask for this! But 64 pages, so we'll see how that goes. And, again, all the discounts are to come, probably attached to this very ad that I just accidentally did here. So, why not? CT8 for 8% off on DCBService.com, Discount Comic Book Service. So, check it out there, and that is that. Anything to report, Mr. Cassina? Any bullets of BK?
Nothing to report.
No? Okay.
The apologies. I'm so behind. I've got distracted with Dexter.
That's fine. It's all good. I mean, you know, if you ever want to do one on, like, TV or anything like that, you can.
Oh, we might.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of actually doing an Expendables review as a sort of a CT one-off here, since it doesn't come out here for another, like, 3 weeks, and I've already seen it.
I can do a, whatchamacallit, a Sorcerer's Apprentice review.
Yeah, sure. Sure. That works.
Don't.
Yeah, and I could do a Last Airbender review. Don't.
I could have told you that.
The fuck is wrong with you, M. Night Shyamalan, you piece of shit?
Shyamalama ding dong, as we say in my house.
Is that really what you say in your house?
No, not really. Okay. Shyamalama ding dong.
Ugh. Well, hey, at least, to redeem, well, not even to redeem that, but the news came out that there's a new Avatar the Last Airbender spinoff series, a sequel series called The Legend of Korra, which is going to be airing on Nickelodeon in 2011. So I'm just going to focus on that and ignore M. Night Shyamalan entirely. Ooh, and
ignore.
Did you hear about Young Justice out of SDCC?
Yes.
Mr. Peter David is going to be writing Young Justice episodes.
Oh, and also apparently they're going to be collecting some Young Justice stuff. Did you hear that, my friend?
Yes, I did, and I heard that it's the same damn thing they've collected 3 times already.
What?
Sins of Youth.
Oh, yeah, actually, I think I did see that. They're just putting that out as a one-shot.
Yeah, it's like, whoop-de shit. I want trades.
There's something else that they're maybe we will do one of those.
What?
Oh, you already picked it. Fuck you.
What?
They were putting out, let me see if I can find it. Probably not, because it was all before Comic-Con. Mm. I can't find the solicits anymore.
Are you talking about the DC Legacies or whatever they're coming out with? Not Legacy, but...
Yeah, it was like a combination of issues, and there was one I was interested in picking up.
All right, well we could...
There's like one or two of them.
Well, tell you what, if you find it, let me know. And I'll pick it up at the shop, because I didn't order it, but I could always just pick it up that way.
No, they're not there next month.
Oh, they're next month. Okay.
The solicitors that just came out.
Okay, then yeah, we could throw it on. We could either throw it on as an additional episode or like a one shot thing if necessary.
Yeah.
All right. Trying to think if there's anything else that needs to be said here. Not anytime soon, but I recorded an episode of PKD Media this last week with Raf and Pryor and Chad Burdett and John Carroll and one of Sean's friends whose name's escaped me, and I apologize for that. But that'll probably come out actually a while from now, because he's stacking episodes right now, so that might not even air until like September. But that's there, so check it out. And just go to pkdmedia.com in general and check that out. Also, available now on the website for The Uniques is theuniquescomics.com. You can get it from there, or I believe it's rainbowinthedarkcomic.com or one of those. Rainbow in the Dark issue 1 has been released. I had a hand in editing that along with Chris, and we actually show up in one of the crowd shots. They actually arted us in, which is pretty cool. But arted, what the hell is arted? Drew us in, which is very nice of them. But yeah, support Adam and Comfort, because we support them, and they're really nice people, and they put out good content. It's available online. You can either purchase the comic, the physical copy, or you can purchase the digital copy. Either way, it's totally worth it, and I'd recommend you give it a shot, including you, Brent.
Okay.
All right. And that's that. So I'm going to shut up now. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network and the League of Comic Book Podcasts. Check them out over at comicspodcast.com and comicbooknoise.com/league. You can send us iTunes reviews if you would like. And that's really all you can really send us, because that's all I really care about right now. So for Mr. Cassina, let's try and make this less than 4 weeks this time, man. That work?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, yes,
we
yes.
Still have 3 books?
Yes, we do.
I'm sure we'll have more when our next shipment comes in.
Yeah, it'd be nice for us to actually do a topic episode one of these days, too.
And that's what 108 is.
I know.
109. 109's a... What is it? I don't know.
Well, 109's a movie review. That doesn't really count. 108 was a topic that which you've had very positive reviews of, so thanks for everybody who did that. And as always, there's always time for comics.